We are chatting with our local representative, Dan Williams, the MLA for the constituency of Peace River. Dan, always good to chat with you. And you know what? Lately, we've been talking a lot. And that really means that there's a lot of good news happening. And we had known, and even the premier had mentioned some of them when he had come on the show this morning. And it even said himself that, like, well, and I'm sure there's a lot of things that Dan could tell you that he's getting done up there. And now, two new schools design phase announced for this region. What can you tell us?
Yeah, this is really good news story, and I think Albertans and folks in Peace Country are pretty happy to hear some good news after the last year we've been through. And this government has made a priority, rural Alberta, particularly our constituency in the northwest of the province, our little constituency is the Peace River riding, and we're lucky to have two more schools in addition to the two that they announced last year. So last year, unprecedentedly, we had two schools, which many ridings go a long time without a single new school being built. But the needs were such that the growing communities and the need for old infrastructure updating Cap-Servant in the town of Peace River and Blue Hills School in Blue Hills, both of which were announced and are going forward. Now, this year, we have two more schools, and there's $6 million going towards these schools between design for a brand new school, K-12 in Manning, to replace the Paul Rowe School, and the design for Manning, and then also a modernization of the 7-12 in Fort Vermilion.
Okay, great. So just because I know we've seen some conflicting information on that, and just to clear the record on that, Dan, the Fort Vermilion School, I know at some point had been advertised as a K-12 school, Fort Vermilion Public School, but that is a 7-12 school, correct?
That's my understanding. We're funding for a modernization to that existing school, 7-12. Yeah.
Awesome. And for that one, I want to point out, and thank you for clearing that up, but I also wanted to point out that this school is more, and I think Minister Pand and Minister LaGrange referred to it this way, is a relocation, because let's face it, that's the old St. Mary's and even the old Fort Vermilion Public School, a little too close to the river, weren't they?
Yeah, no, for sure. And what the Catholic Division of Holy Family does with its money that it got in relation to the floods is going to be a decision for that board to make. What we're doing here today is making an announcement and granting the money for modernization of the school up on the hill, that Fort Public School, the 7-12. And anything that goes forward with Holy Family and St. Mary's will be for the school boards to sort out.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. And also as well, speaking with Minister Panda, and I'm sure you're aware of this, but the shovel goes into the ground to start the work on École Quatre-Vents, and we know that that was something that you had pushed on very early in your term. And how excited are you going to be for this spring, according to Minister Panda, to see the shovel going into the ground?
Well, let me say in French, j'ai tellement voir la nouvelle école pour mes francophones. J'aime tellement mes francophones ici en Alberta, au nord-ouest, en région de la Paix. It's such an important population and culture for Alberta, for us to maintain that francophone culture, to be able to support them with the school is something badly needed. The infrastructure for the school that they had was really decrepit. There wasn't a square corner in the whole place, this big circle. What we're doing is building a modern, efficient school that is going to be a great place to keep the students warm, safe, and educated, and be able to keep Francophone culture and education growing in Peace Country for generations to come.
No doubt about it. C'est le plus important, la culture française, la francophonie, plusieurs, l'Alberta Nord-Ouest, c'est les joyeuses nouvelles pour la région. And obviously,
here we go, both of us now.
Exactly. We may have to get the premier to come on and do the translator, because I think no disrespect, you may speak better French than both of us, and I'm actually from Montreal.
He does.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Also, as well, in terms of those things too, and I know some of these projects. How important is it? And were some of them fast tracked actually a little bit ahead of schedule? Because I know one of the things that you had said as well is that we northwestern Albertans, we really want to get back to work. So are any of these projects maybe being put ahead, a little bit ahead of schedule so people can get their jobs?
Well, the truth is this government has put a record amount of money into infrastructure, higher than any provincial budget in our history. And that is exactly as you say, because we understand we need to grow our economy, diversify jobs, get people back to work. This recovery coming out of COVID, it's happening. And Alberta's economy, especially in the north, is so well positioned for it. And we knew as a government we had to do our part. If we were going to need to replace a school or build a bridge or pave a highway, better to move that forward as much as possible. Now, we have limited capacity, As big as the government is, the true economic engine of this province has been and always will be private industry, the families, the businesses they run. And that's where we know we're going to see the real recovery and the boom that comes after this. But we know to catalyze that, to start it off, we have to invest, so we're investing massively. And that's true. Even look at the new health center, maternity health center in the Creek for $35 million going up there, an incredibly important piece of infrastructure for maternal health care and this, the livelihoods of babies. I mean, there's nothing that I think more important than making sure mothers and those newborns are safe and are safely delivered in a warm, appropriate place, not on the side of a highway in minus 40. But not only do we have that obvious healthcare benefit, this is another project that's going to go towards more jobs, diverse from the economy, skilled labor needed. We see Fort Vermilion, $17 million, up to $17 million to relocate in flood prevention, which is, again, just more in the area. We see the Del Air Lodge. That's another $8 million there, is my understanding of the project. So all of this going forward, it just means that we're going to be putting Albertans back to work. We see great prices in the oil field. We see canola in a very good spot. We see the best year on record for our forestry, producing softwood lumber and plywood as well with OSB. So there's a lot to be excited about, and I'm really looking forward to the coming year, not least of which I'm putting COVID behind me.
Amen. Also as well, I guess, when it does come to our certain things, and we know, I always wanted to kind of get your take on this, because I know every so often that there's suggestions from the NDP that, you know, MLA should be sanctioned for speaking their minds. And I have to say that you've a couple of times, remember, you were advocating for a regional approach, and no one has slapped your hand. So it seems to me like it's a leader that just lets his MLAs do what they're supposed to do, and that is speak for their constituents.
Yeah, that's right. I think most Albertans reasonably understand we need to be able to work together as a team when we're in government, and I don't think anybody's disputing that. But I have a number of times voiced my opinion, even voted my own way on important piece of legislation in the legislature. I think that the more dexterity and flexibility we have in dealing with COVID, the better. I think that there have been a lot of good examples of teamwork happening where our tent is, our big tent party, United Conservatives, is the kind of thing where we truly do tolerate a diversity of opinion. And I think what Rachel Notley and the NDP just can't stand is that they are not genuinely tolerant. They'll give lip service to that, but it's tolerance as long as it's their view. And we see this all the time in all the policies, and they even want to tell us how to run our own party. Well, you ran Alberta into the ground, and we saw things like Carmen Creek pull out, which is a disaster for our community. We saw a lot of decisions they made, and Albertans got to have their say. Instead, I think Albertans are much happier seeing a diversity of views representing our caucus and a true tolerance, not like the fake tolerance of the left, but genuinely accepting of different views like we have in the conservative movement. And I'm very proud of that.
Fair enough. And Dan, I know you were mentioning that you may have a little bit of time. So when you do have some time to sit down, what would be next on your watching list?
Oh, geez. It's a good question. Well, I've been reading a book recently.
Those are good.
And I'm turning to that. I've just been so enthralled by it. It's by Robert Caro, and it's about Lyndon B. Johnson, the infamous American president, Democrat president, who took over after JFK was assassinated. It's called The Path to Power.
Wow.
And it is an absolutely thrilling read, very exciting. And as somebody interested in politics and interested in American history, I don't think there's another book I've read that compares to it. So I've tried to, for this time of Lent, put the TV screen down, put away the screens, and spend a bit more time reading, and that's the book I've picked up.
All right, well, good way to spend Lent, no doubt about it. Dan, we also appreciate you checking in with us. Thanks a lot.
No, I appreciate the time. Thank you, Kenny.
This is Dan Williams. He is the MLA for Peace River, and this is another Hot Seat episode.